Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. May you be blessed today. Oh, and always. I'm going to put that in there. May you be blessed today and always in a way that fills your heart with a thousand thank yous for all that God's hand will bring your way. I want you to know, friend, as Kimberly was teaching yesterday about thanking you, if God brings you a blessing, if God brings a supernatural thing into your life, what do? You thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I know just last night I had some congestion and my nose was running. You know how it is. And I never say, I think I'm coming down with something. No, as I crawled into bed, I said, thank you, Lord, for covering me with your healing power. And thank you for sweet sleep. I woke up this morning and I was fine. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, he is so precious. And if you would like to listen to past radio programs, especially on Wednesday when Kimberly joins me, that is so much fun. A mother really enjoys that. You can go to www.freedomstreet.org and click on radio shows and listen to previous radio shows. I know that they will really edify you and help you to learn a little bit more about how God operates, because we got to learn his ways. Amen. We've got to learn his ways. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. And that last part of that phrase is from Acts 17, verse 28. Our memory verse for this week has been Romans 5, verse 8. Oh, this is so good. God demonstrates his own love towards us, his own love toward you, my friend, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in the Passion, Romans 5, verse 8 says, but Christ proved God's passionate love. Passion, it's a passion with God to look upon you every second of every day. And you know, he doesn't go by time, so he's always watching over you. For us, his passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. Oh, Jesus exchanged our sins for his righteousness. He became the curse and reconciled us to God. We had been so far away from God ever since the Garden of Eden, and Jesus came and brought that reconciliation into our life. My confession for today by Rick Renner: I confess that I can do whatever God asks me to do. Whoa, it's a tall order, isn't it? He wouldn't ask me if he didn't think I could do it. Rather than doubt my abilities, I confess that his ability is working inside me. That verse again, in him I live and move and have my being. I confess that his ability is working inside me. We've got to believe that. I lean on Holy Spirit, his mind, his power, and his grace, and these divine forces enable me to successfully achieve the things he has designed for me to do today and always. I speak the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me and you to conquer every difficulty. That's Philippians 4:13 in the Passion. And in the King James Version, it says, and you probably know this, I can do all things, join me, through Christ who strengthens me. Praise the Lord. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Oh, I've enjoyed those Rick Renner devotions. I know I've had several people hand me other devotions, and I just, I'm not a person that likes change or takes change quickly or easily, but I've really enjoyed his confessions. His affirmations are just priceless. Well, folks, Jesus came to bring into existence a new race of people who would love even as he loved. Oh, who would not live by their senses, but in the Spirit. And what he was saying here. We need to be inner directed and not outward directed. Directed by our hearing, seeing, touching, smelling, tasting, because those senses are limited. They're not going to get you what God wants you to have. So this takes total surrender. And if that sounds absolutely foreign and not attainable, I agree with you. In my own strength, I can't do that. You can't achieve what God has planned for each believer on your own merits. So quit trying. It's exhausting. I know, I've tried it. Jesus said plainly in John 12, 23 through 24, now is the time for the Son of Man. He wanted you to know that he's man. He's man. He's God, but he's man. Son of Man, to be glorified. And remember that verse that he said in, I believe it's John 10, and John 3. He quoted it a couple times. And his glorification involves, if he was lifted up, he would draw all men unto me. And that lifting up is the crucifixion. Let me make this clear, he said in John 12. Let me make this clear. A single grain of wheat will never be more than a single grain of wheat unless it drops into the ground and dies. And I watched my father every year from the time I was 7 or 8 and going out into the yard and watching him take the tractor and after he plowed and after he disked and after he harrowed and got everything ready and then planting the seed for the crops that he wanted to come up. And those seeds, they were in the granary. They did nothing. They were just in a pile until you take that seed and stick it in the ground. And then because Jesus goes on to say, and then because there it sprouts and produces a great harvest of wheat, all because one grain died. Now, Jesus is not only talking about his death, but folks, he's talking about what we are willing to surrender so that a harvest will come, because then it sprouts and produces a great harvest of wheat, all because one grain died. I know this was a hard chapter for me to read when I was, you know, more immature and die. I don't want to die. I want to live. The person who loves his life and pampers himself will miss true life. But the one who detaches his life from this world, the hearing, seeing, touching, smelling, tasting, the being outer-directed instead of inner-directed, the one who detaches his life from this world and abandons himself to me will find true life and enjoy it forever. If you want to be my disciple, follow me and you will go where I am going. And if you truly follow me as my disciple, the Father will shower his favor upon your life. It's almost the same as Psalm 84, verse 11. The Lord God is a sun and shield. He gives grace and favor and glory to those who walk uprightly before him. What a great promise to those of us who have seen great trials in our life. And yet, friend, the best is yet to be. Oh, be aware, be alert, be on the alert and be always looking up, because your redemption draweth nigh. Well, Jesus was explaining to Philip and Andrew his experience of the cross, that grain dropping into the ground. And of course, they didn't realize what was going on. It's like, have you ever heard someone talking, especially in the spirit, and you just didn't get it until years later? That's me. The experience of dying and being resurrected to the true life everlasting is a hard thing to ponder when we are in our physical bodies. But friend, it's just so worth it. Paul had it nailed when he said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave his life for me. Praise the Lord. That was one of the first verses I learned from Navigators. I had gotten a little packet of scripture cards, kind of like the Power Pack, only not as thick, in a little acrylic pack. And while I was waiting for Kimberly in preschool, this was a long time ago because she's 56 now, I would learn scriptures. And this was one of the first ones, Galatians 2:20, Ephesians 2 verse 8. Wonderful scriptures that I learned a long time ago. Can there be any more loving scriptures? I live because he gave his life on the cross and Holy Spirit raised him from the dead. I mean, oh, how much more can we hear about Jesus and what he did for us? Jesus was the only one who lives the kind of love that God is. and he would forever be the only one because he was placed in the earth of death. Then there would be a resurrection and a vast harvest, just as John 12:24 states. The one grain of love would be reproduced millions of times over. And we experienced that. My dad raised corn, and on each stalk of corn, there were probably, maybe 7 or 8 ears, and on each ear, hundreds of corn seeds. And so you would take those corn seeds, put them in the granary, and the next year you would plant those corn seeds and just produce millions upon millions upon millions. A new race would be produced that would love as he loved. They would spring into existence. And friend, that's you and me. That's you and me. Oh, that word love. We talk about it. It's so flippantly all the time, and especially the Western mind. Things like, I love my husband. I love my wife. I love pizza. I love my dog. That word love in the English language is explained very poorly. And it just doesn't describe the love, especially the agape love that God has for us. Now, in the Greek, there are 4 different kinds of love, with agape being the God kind of love. And it wasn't clearly understood by the people who spoke Greek until Jesus came. They didn't understand agape. No, they didn't experience somebody dying for them until Jesus came. And plainly, by his death on the cross, it was revealed to them what the word agape really meant. Agape is the very heart and nature of God. God is agape. God is love. That's what 1 John 4:18 says. When we stand before the love that chose to die for his enemies, we begin to understand the nature of agape. And just as I was telling you the other day, in Jesus' final hours with his disciples, he made it crystal clear that those who would believe him through the centuries would be lovers of the same kind as he. Here he is about to die, and what does he say to his disciples? A new commandment I give to you. Take care of yourself. No. Save your money. No. Nope. You love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. He was really trying to get it to them. John 13, verse 34 and 35, and all through 14 and John 15, these were the last chapters that he spoke that were written down before he died. A few minutes later, he picked up the same theme again. If you keep my commands, you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands. For I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. My purpose for telling you these things is so that the joy that I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. What joy? He died. What kind of joy is that? That's pain. Absolute pain. Well, he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, so this is my command. Love each other deeply as much as I have loved you. For the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends. For his friends. You might be tempted to say, this guy is a nutcase. No one can love that kind of love. No, we can't on our own. We can't, friend. And it's taken me years and years and years to realize in just a tiny, part, kind of like a grain of salt, what God's love is really like. And we love him because he first loved us. And I realize now that it's God's love poured into my heart that changed me the night that I went down to the altar and received Jesus as my Savior and Lord. If this kind of love that Jesus showed toward us is beyond our capability, then why did he come in the first place? He came for us. But why did he come in the first place? If we can't achieve some measure of that agape, we can't love like God loves without the help of Holy Spirit. There's a phrase I've told you before on Call to Freedom. It's the word joy. And you break it into 3 parts. J is for Jesus, O is for others, and Y is for you. And that's exactly what it is. Jesus, others, and you. And so many people have that turned around. Me, me, and me. And I understand. I really do. It's so hard. It's so difficult. But, oh, God is so wonderful. I was singing the song, My Jesus, I Love Thee, and I probably will use it when we have our next meeting. And I'm going to say all four verses. But I looked into the composer of this song. His name was William Ralph Featherstone. He was born in 1846, and at the age of 16, he wrote this song. 16! He wrote this beautiful song, and he died when he was 27. You don't hear much about him. They don't have any kind of history of how he died. His poem went across to England, and another man took the credit for this song. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee in life. I will love thee in death and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath. Yes. And say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Oh, and someday in mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow, if ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Here's the West Coast Choir, This Love.
Precious blood that gave me life, but in 3 days he breathed again and rose to stand in my defense. So I come to tell you he's alive, to tell you that he
the blind, that heals the sick, the lonely it finds.
It has the power to free the bound as chains they fall upon the ground.
So pour it out and cleanse my soul, and let his crimson glory flow,
because he lives to make me whole. I owe my life, I owe my all. So I come to tell you he's alive, to shout and
precious blood that gave me life.
But he breathes, he breathes again, and rose to stand in my defense. So I come to tell you he's alive, to tell you that he cries every tear that falls. So I come to tell you that he saves, to shout and to proclaim he's coming back for you. We have come to tell you he's alive.
Oh, praise God. This is Jesus' love for you today and always, you and me through his blood. Oh, and the precious choir, all these young people singing that beautiful song along the hills and ridges, probably of Southern California. I don't know. I didn't look up the location of West Coast Choir, but oh, so beautiful to see these young people saying, he's alive, he's alive. Oh, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, folks, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. That's my prayer for you today. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. It truly is. Oh, Paul was right. Then you will be made perfect and complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or even think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Oh, behold what manner of love the Father has lavished on us, that we are called the children of God. Isn't that beautiful? So always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do, especially to your brothers and sisters. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Oh, that's one thing I'm learning. Don't worry, Barbara. Pray. Don't worry. Pray. And it's important that you have a brother or sister come alongside. I know when I was asking the Lord to help me with this printer issue, I went to a brother in the Lord, and I said, would you pray alongside with me in agreement that there will be a good result? And of course, I was under contract with Xerox, so I didn't pay anything. Praise God. And I watched this marvelous technician go throughout the whole machine and replace things that needed to be replaced. So don't, you know, God is telling me all that. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace. Peace. That peace that passes all understanding, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, true. Truth is just being annihilated in the United States. Your truth, his truth, my truth. Everybody else has a truth. But fix your thoughts on the truth of the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify the people by your word. Your word is truth. So fix your thoughts on what is true, the Word of God, and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. That's what I pray today. And as we enter into the weekend for resurrection, I pray that you will be at absolute peace in knowing that Jesus is your Savior and Lord. And if you haven't made him your Savior and Lord, just a prayer. Father God, please forgive me for my sins. I want to make you Lord and Master of my life. So here I am. Give me a new heart and a fresh start. That's all. That's all it takes. And you are a child of God. God bless you and keep you. If you just accepted Jesus, call me at 1-877-917-7256. God bless you and keep you, and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in